Walker with you here in the Green Zone. If you were listening to the show yesterday, we were talking about the Oilers back at home against the Dallas Stars. And let's just...
Yeah, can you stop making predictions about...
Let's just own this, Locker. You and I both. Both. I said...
I haven't got the curse.
I said I have a feeling the Oilers get back at home and win this one against the Stars without Mikko Rantanen. And you agreed. You're like, yep, I have that feeling too, Jamie.
Felt good based on the win on Saturday in Florida against the Panthers. Four goals. And
you didn't respond to my text last night.
I was ignoring you and a couple of other people, if I'm being honest.
4-0 after one period for the Dallas Stars. We'll dig into the Edmonton Oilers.
I love how people are continuing to try to avoid the real problem. You're part of it, too. You're part of this crew. It's Skinner's got to go.
Like, Just keep blaming him.
He's got to go.
Blame him. That's the one guy. You change the goalie, all their defensive structure will be fixed just like that.
It's where you start.
Let's go!
And now, the starting lineup.
We begin the Green Zone with the starting lineup, the top sports headlines. So let's start with a piece of local football news. Seth Hundaby signs his rookie deal with the Saskatchewan Roughriders.
Extra protection for Gonzalez. He's in trouble, and Hundaby sacks the Montreal quarterback. Here's pressure. Gonzalez, they've got him. Sacked. It's Seth Hundaby again.
Yes, the U Sports Defensive Player of the Year, University of Saskatchewan Husky, Seth Hundaby has signed his first deal with the Saskatchewan Roughriders. Of course, opted not to play this season with the Riders. He wanted to finish his engineering degree at the University of Saskatchewan. He was the Rough Riders' fourth-round pick in 2024. But what a senior season with the Huskies. 42 tackles in 7 games. Led the conference with 6 tackles for loss. Conference leader in generating 5 turnovers with 3 forced fumbles, 2 interceptions.
Got him to the Vanier Cup.
Yes, and helped the Huskies get to the Vanier Cup. Seth Hundaby signs on with the green and white today.
Little Frog.
Yes.
NHL, it's Jeremy time to get O'Day rid of two big frogs. Both goalies in Edmonton.
Wrap in front and the Stars score! To the right, shot Skinner with the save. Rebound, score! It's Bastion on the right side. Shot, he scores!
Wow.
Here's Ben, shot behind the The fourth different star to score here in the opening period.
We only had time to give you the goals scored in the first period against the Oilers.
Yeah, there were 4 more.
Only game in the NHL last night. 15 games in the NHL tonight. The Oilers have a bit of a break. And again, we talked about this earlier with JB. I think they should go bowling. Saturday, they're in Seattle. Nuge should be back in the lineup. Klattenberg focused on the good news last night. He actually looked pretty decent, 20-year-old kid. He was picked in the 5th round by the Oilers. Maybe they have a 25th round goalie they can put in net on Saturday night in Seattle. Klattenberg gets his first.
I hope Connor McDavid had something really, really monumental to say after last night.
I'm not good. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I don't have many answers for you here tonight.
That's good. Meanwhile, the Ottawa Senators have their captain coming back soon.
Denoyer shoots the flick and score! Brady Tkachuk pats in!
Back to Claude Giroux, back across the Tkachuk, shoots, scores! Brady Tkachuk! And Ottawa's got a 1-0 lead!
Yes, on his new podcast with his brother Matthew Tkachuk, it is number one on Locker's playlist, Wingmen. Brady Tkachuk just says he's targeting Friday's game against the St. Louis Blues for his return. Of course, the Senators right now, the only Canadian team in a playoff spot heading into American Thanksgiving. We're going to ask you, which Canadian teams do you think will pull up their socks and make it into the postseason this year? Or is it just going to be Ottawa? Or no one? 1-877-332-8255.
I can honestly tell you that I think that might be the last thing I would ever watch.
The Wing Men podcast?
Or listen to. Like, I can't think of any...
Come on, a guilty
anything
pleasure?
Anything I think less of. Like, there's not I can't... Nothing coming to mind right now.
I bet you if I checked your podcast, you're watching it.
No. No, I haven't. And I will not. NBA, the Raptors go for 9 straight tonight.
Defense collapses on Barnes. Now Ingram's free for 3. It's on the money.
Here's Barnes right to the iron.
Double comes in a crowd. Finds a cutting Barrett. Goes in and lays it up.
All right. Pacers in town to play the Raptors. And Toronto start time is at 6:15. RJ Barrett, day-to-day knee. I looked it up. I don't know if he's playing tonight or not. Might be a load management thing for tonight's game. Pacers are 2-15, 14th in the Eastern Conference. Toronto, 13-5, second in the Eastern Conference. So, don't say anything.
I'm not saying nothing. Okay,
thank you. All right, we'll move on.
They should win this one tonight.
Stop.
Meanwhile,
they're going to get blown out by the Pacers.
It's coming down to the wire at the Canadian Olympic curling trials.
Down by 2. Final stone in 10. Matt Dunstone needs a beauty, and it's not to be. A win for Brad Jacobs. And has qualified for a spot in the top 3. But after losing their opener, they have got on a roll.
They've run the math. With the win over Dunstone this morning, Brad Jacobs has clinched first place. So he will be in the final. Now it's a race for the number 2 and number 3 seed. Guju takes on Jacobs this evening. On the other side, you have Dunstone against Mike McEwen. Both those rinks are at 2 losses. The winner will make the playoffs. If Guju loses, then they're going to start doing the last stone draw stuff, which is one heck of a way to decide who should go to the Olympics. Is let's tally up all the pregame draws to the button, and that's how we're going to decide goes to the playoffs. But them's the rules. That's how they're doing it internationally, so they're doing it here too. On the women's side, Carrie Anderson and Rachel Holman going on right now. The winner will be first place, and Holman has a 7-4 lead on Carrie Anderson's rink. Anderson 6-0, Holman's 5-1, but the winner of that one will be first place and get a bye to the best of 3 final. And right now, Christina Black, Selena Sturme, Caitlin Laws, all battling it out for the other spot. And if Christina Black wins, I believe she's in because of last stone draw. She's from Nova Scotia, and she is up right now. So the hometown crowd cheering on Christina Black at the Olympic trials right now. We'll keep you up to date on that one as they decide who gets to go to Italy to try to win gold in curling this week. Coming up next here on the Green Zone, if the NHL playoffs started today, 1. Count them. 1. Canadian franchise would be in the playoffs. The American Thanksgiving is tomorrow. The stat is 77% of teams in the last 20 years have made the playoffs if they're in a playoff spot at American Thanksgiving. That would mean 4 teams out of the playoffs statistically still have a shot to get, but only 4. There are 6 Canadian franchises out of a playoff spot right now.
No, but that's across the board. That's not just Canadian teams. That's across the board teams that are not.
Yeah, I know. So that's what I'm saying. Only 4 teams statistically would go out of the playoffs and in. There's 6 franchises in Canada. So odds are not all 6 are going to make the playoffs. Which one or 2 or 3, if you want to be really optimistic, do you think can get back in the race? Let us know now. Give us a call at 1-877-332-8255. This is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Jamie and Locker with you here in the Green Zone. 15 games in the NHL tonight. And there's a old stat that's been thrown around over the last few years. And the statisticians go back until the lockout, really. So the last 20 years, running the math, on American Thanksgiving, Thursday, tomorrow, the numbers say 77% of NHL teams in a playoff spot make the playoffs. So around 75%, with 16 teams making the playoffs. Quick math, traditionally three or four teams, maybe five,
that are out of the picture at this point make it in.
Make it into the playoffs.
That's the parity in the league right now.
It's also an indication of, by the time we're this far into the season, 25 games in,
teams have sort of established themselves.
You are who you are. So right now in the National Hockey League, you have one Canadian franchise in a playoff spot, just barely. The Ottawa Senators are sitting at 26 points. You have everybody else out of a playoff spot as of right now. Maybe that changes tonight. We'll see. The Montreal Canadiens are a point back. The Toronto Maple Leafs in the bottom of the Atlantic are five out of a playoff spot. And then in the Western Conference, nobody's in a playoff spot right now. The Jets are three out. The Oilers are two out. The Canucks and Flames, I don't know. I think you take them to an insurance company so they can write these two teams off for the 25-26 season. So we are asking you today, of the Canadian teams out of a playoff spot, who do you think we're talking about in the spring beginning the playoffs in a playoff spot? Do you still have faith in the Oilers? Do you think the Leafs can mount a comeback? Do you think the Montreal Canadiens can get back in? What about those Winnipeg Jets once Connor Hellebuyck gets healthy? 1-877-332-8255 is the fan line. Maybe those are one of your teams. You want to give us a call? You can right now and tell us, yeah, my Leafs are totally going to make the playoffs. Locker, what about your Oilers?
I still think the Oilers will drag themselves in. I think Winnipeg is too good to not get a playoff spot. Vancouver and Calgary, there's more separation in the West than there is in the East. Toronto is 5 points out, 5 points back of Boston for a wild card spot, and they're dead last in the Atlantic. It's a win, right? Like, Matthews and Knies are back.
Yeah, but 82 goals against for the Toronto Maple Leafs. That is the worst in the Eastern Conference. The only teams worse at giving up goals are the Vancouver Canucks and your Edmonton Oilers.
Here's the thing about how close these two divisions are right now is that I think that math, that Thanksgiving math, is going to get thrown into the blender.
No.
I think it does. I think because at this point last year, I remember there were more teams that were separating themselves from the pack. And it was clear, there was a clear division. There was the haves and the have-nots. And this year, that just is not the case. You can go on a 1 week, 2 week, 3 week run where you're playing, you're winning 75% of your games, and all of a sudden you're back right in the picture.
So you think 5-6 teams out of the playoffs right now are going to make the playoffs? I just don't see it.
I can see it. I could see it being 5-6-7 teams that aren't in it right now. I think there's going to be that much turmoil this year. I think there's going to be that much up and down. And I'm not saying that because I'm an Oilers fan. I'm saying that because I think things are just so close. Like every night, I take a look at the highlights. I don't watch every hockey game that's played. And man, there are some interesting finishes, and teams that should be beating other teams aren't. Like it's crazy this year.
1-877
goals are way up too.
8255. What do you think of the Canadian teams? Who do you think is going to make the jump into a playoff spot? I think it's fair to say Oiler fans are getting pretty angry with the Edmonton Oilers' performance of late. Still.
Not angry. Frustrated, I think, more than anything.
Still trying to find.
There was some anger last night.
There was some booze last night, Locker. I was.
Yeah.
including from my 7-year-old watching the first period.
Are the Oilers fans jersey throwers?
That's usually I think there was one a couple of years ago. I hope not. I think that's the dumbest thing to do. It sends no message other than you have way too much money to go buy another jersey. But to talk more about the Edmonton Oilers is a play-by-play voice on 880 Chad, Cam Moon, joining us. Cam, first off, was anybody saying, hey, Cam, we might need you on the TV broadcast with Jack Michaels losing it last night?
Yeah, I heard he was having some voice issues at one point in the game.
But the Clutterberg goal, he went, and he kind of, there was a kind of a croaking frog noise, and then he went, uh-oh.
Yeah.
We've
all been there. Hey, we've all been there.
Yeah.
So
DeBrusque went, uh-oh.
Yeah. Louis had to do some longer analysis for a little bit last night.
Yeah.
You got it back.
Yeah. But,
golly, that's good.
No answers. Connor McDavid last night said, he didn't have any answers for the Edmonton Oilers play. So let's turn to the play-by-play voice. What are your answers to so many of these questions on why aren't the Oilers able to find their game right now?
Oh, I wish I knew. I would help out in any way I could if I could help them get it going in the right direction. And, you know, it looked at that game in Tampa. They play really well. They lose in overtime. Had a great chance in overtime. Andrei Vasilevsky makes an all-world save. Jake Guentzel scores. All right, okay. Well, you played really well. And that was on the back half of a back-to-back that was a little nasty being in Washington the night before. So it's not a real easy Washington to Tampa move after a game. So, okay, and then they go into Florida, and Florida's beat up and missing a bunch of players, so I get it, but Edmonton played a real solid game and get a win against the Panthers in Florida, which is, even with players out, it's still no small feat.
I think the difference in that Panthers game, sorry to jump in, but I remember very specifically thinking this is one of those teams that when they don't have the lead, they don't know how to play. This in Tampa Bay, they got ahead of it, played well, and in Florida they got ahead of it and played well. They're able to for whatever reason they're able to lock it down when they've got a lead. When they get behind, Cam, it's ugly.
Well, it has been at times, yes. I wouldn't say that's all the time, but I would say that there's been a couple. I mean, the Colorado game and last night, those were horrendous, let's be honest. And I thought going into the game last night, given what had happened at those last two games of the road trip, which was a grind, you know, 7-game, 12-day haul and playing 16 of your first 24 on the road, I'm like, oh, well, all right, hey, things are turning in the right direction here. And then the puck dropped, and, you know, there was, Even at 1-0, Edmonton gets a great chance on a breakaway of Jack Roslovic, and you know, Jake Oettinger just gets enough, and it just goes completely south. And yeah, I don't know what the magic elixir is. Like I don't know. And hearing the player comments, you know, after the game last night, I mean, it was just frustrated, and you know, dumbfounded as to what the heck happened last night. And I understand that, but yeah, it's not one or two things. You can't just point at one aspect of the team's game yesterday and, you know, further to the Colorado. I mean, it was everything. I mean, you put it all together. Like, I don't care if you had Marty Brodeur at his peak in goal last night, that wasn't going to help. When you give up that many good chances, yeah, they could have used a few more saves, sure, but that was just a small part of the whole big problem.
Cam Moon joining us, play-by-play voice, 880 Chad of the Edmonton Oilers. A lot of people just point to the goaltender, Stuart Skinner. Both Draisaitl and McDavid said it last night. This issue, like, sure, yes, goaltending, you want an extra save or two here and there, Cam, but Connor McDavid, I think, said it better than anybody. It's like, it doesn't matter who's in net, the way we're playing in front of them, nobody would be good behind us. So what is it? Is it, you know, the issue on the blue line and a change of the, of course, Paul Coffey has moved back to an executive role. Like, where has it gone south with a team that looked like they were getting it, so to speak, defensively last season?
Yeah, and it did look that way. I don't know. Again, I'm not sure. Like, this is a team, if you look at, you know, some of the fancy stat sites, are giving up the most quality scoring opportunities in the league. And if they aren't, you know, number one in that category, they're in the top three, depending on, you know, who's taking the stats. But they're, like, right up there.
Yeah.
So, again, like, and I appreciated players standing up for their goaltender, in that if you play like that defensively, that puts your net manager in an incredibly tough position, which last night, that was an incredibly tough position, whether it was Stuart Skinner or Calvin Pickard. Like, oh. But, yeah, I can't just say it's the D. I can say it's defensively as a team. And whether that's giving up chances off the rush, which at times this year has been an issue, and whether that's an ill-timed pinch, or if that's, you know, forwards not backtracking well enough or in good enough position when they were in the offensive zone, that when a turnover occurs that they can't put on good enough back pressure to thwart a good opportunity against. Like, it's or whether it's D-zone coverage that goes south, it's all of those things at different times. And that, and given, and yeah, I realize there's changes on the team, but it's mostly up front. The D are, it's pretty much the same. I mean, Alec Regula's in there, but it's pretty much the same group. Do I think of Ryan Nugent-Hopkins and a Kasperi Kapanen, who we think have a good chance of coming back to this team really soon, maybe as soon as Saturday? Do I think that helps? Yeah, I do. I think that does help. I mean, I don't know how it couldn't. But sometimes, to me, at least that's the way it looks to me, is the emotional level at times needs to be higher. And when a guy like Connor Clattenburg gets called up and was, you know, visibly noticeable in his enthusiasm in Florida, and then again last night, in fact, he was one of the lone highlights, scores his first NHL goal, and the pure joy on his face was amazing. It's unfortunate that, you know, that's the one goal to make it 4-1. Right? But, and I thought maybe that might spur a little something, but it didn't. That emotional level needs to be higher too. And that starts with everybody. It starts with all of them. But seeing a kid like Connor Clattenburg, who's 20 years old and just, you know, a year removed from the Ontario Hockey League, to come in and provide that kind of enthusiasm, I think that is at least a step in the right direction.
Cam, let's talk a little bit more about that emotion, right? Because everybody's for a loss at words as to what this team can do defensively. I'm in the camp that you got to do something with Skinner, like get him out of there. They've given up on him. When he lets up a bad one, I think the team gives up. But do they have a guy in the dressing room that keeps things light, that makes things fun? We've had countless conversations on the Green Zone in the last couple of weeks. They don't look like they're having fun. Like they're making millions of dollars. They should be looking like they're enjoying themselves. Do they need a guy like that? Did they get rid of it? Was Perry that guy?
No, I think Corey Perry was a guy that would hold players accountable. And given his engagement level, I mean, he was right up there and would kind of drag the team into it with him. And I don't think that should be discounted, that he's not there now and he's doing a good job in Los Angeles in that same regard, which it comes as no shock to me, given what I was able to witness up close and personal over the last few years with Corey. So I think that aspect, it doesn't help losing that. I think Calvin Pickard does a good job of keeping it light and that type, you know, having fun with the game and that. Could they use a few more guys like that? Yeah, maybe. I mean, it's tough. You go to the Stanley Cup final 2 years in a row, you don't win. And it's hard to replicate that type of, like, you can't play a Stanley Cup game in October and November. Like, but it's going to start getting late early, you know, if you don't put together a run of 4 out of 5 or 5 out of 6 or something like that. And thankfully, you look at the standings, with the exception of Colorado, nobody's really running away with anything, so that it wouldn't take much of a run to put yourself, you know, right up near the top.
Yeah.
So, you know, thankfully that's the case. Can that run come now with a bunch of home games coming up? You'd like to think so. I mean, after the Seattle game, Edmonton's playing 5 straight at home. You'd like to think that they'll be able to make some hay at that point. So I'm not looking at the big red panic button right now. Like, I'm not turning around and drilling that button, but I mean, it's getting a little closer as we're, moving forward here in the season. Let's see what happens Saturday. But that five, to me, these 5 home games coming up.
Yeah, that's huge.
They got to be looking at 4 out of 5 there, like at the least.
Well, Cam, we'll leave it there. Thank you so much for your time. And next time we have you on, I need to ask you the best piece of advice Brent Sutter ever gave you as the voice of the Red Deer Rebels. I imagine there's a story or two there. Cam, thanks for your time today.
Okay, thanks for having me on.
Take the team bowling, Cam. Yeah.
What's that?
Take the team bowling or go get them drunk.
Oh. Yeah, why not? I'm in for both of those things.
We'll see. Some team building necessary for the Edmonton Oilers. Coming up next, let's reminisce, shall we, on this day in sports history. A couple of Grey Cup moments for the green and white. This is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.
Bridge Farm remembers.
Well, November the 26th has been a pretty good day in Rough Rider history. On this day, 1966.
Lancaster. For Campbell. Touchdown. Reed again gets the call. He may be gone. Touchdown.
Fred, he broke a tackle right at the line of scrimmage, and he got in that secondary, and he wasn't about to be brought down.
It is all over. The Saskatchewan Rough Riders have defeated the Ottawa Rough Riders 29-14.
Yes, 1966, the Rough Riders win their first ever Grey Cup. Also on November 26th, 1989.
Rockford on the corner, end zone, touchdown, Eldar. First and goal, Saskatchewan. Austin will put it up again. Narcisse, did he get in?
You betcha it was.
Hamilton. Into the end zone! Touchdown!
That's a great catch.
We are tied at 40 with 44 seconds left to play. A 35-yard attempt for David Ridgway. It's up. It's good!
Yes. The first and second Grey Cup championships in Rough Rider history. Both won on this day, November 26th, 1966, 1989. I wasn't around in 66, but I remember being at the Calhoun
farm. He's lying to you.
I remember being at the Calhoun farm in 1989 for that party. That was a party when the Riders won the 1989 Grey Cup. Eight-year-old self saw a lot of happy adults that night.
The trombone player that you went to high school with would disagree with you.
He went to high school. That was my dad he went to high school with. It wasn't with me. Good old Warren on the parade route the other day. I went to high school with Jamie. Nope. No, you went to high school with my dad, Warren.
And then he started talking about the first Grey Cup.
Blaine. It wasn't Warren. Blaine was on the parade route. Yeah. That wasn't me. Different Nye back in the 60s. But that was this day in sports history. Drama just played out at the Canadian Curling Championship.